Hello, and welcome to The Reading Room, the Diagnostic Imaging Podcast. I'm Senior Editor Whitney Palmer. Today, I am joined by Matthew Michaela to discuss the current healthcare landscape in the context of the information blocking rules enacted by the Office of the National Coordinator on April 5, 2021, noncompliance among many facilities, and what practices and institutions can do to ensure they are following the regulations in order to avoid penalties of up to $1 million. Mr. Michaela, a 30-year veteran of the healthcare industry, is the president and chief executive officer of the interoperability company, Life Image.
All right. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me. When it comes to these ONC rules, they're now in effect, and it's been so for about a week or so. But where do organizations stand with readiness and compliance?
I think they've got a long way to go still, unfortunately, right? We've had a lot of time to deploy against these new regulations. We've had some delays because of the pandemic, which are completely understandable here. But frankly, most organizations are really still not ready. And even just a month ago, right, Life Image, we went out, we surveyed about 4,000 folks in the industry, right? And specifically in healthcare IT within the provider community a bit broader, right? And what we found, right, in that regard was that nearly half of the people in those organizations hadn't made any changes to meet these requirements. Now, understand that this isn't necessarily, the CEOs of the major academic medical hospitals here who are thinking about this and are deploying, but talking about folks that sit in the middle of these organizations that actually do the work, have to be responsive to the rules from a technical point of view. Unfortunately, even just 30 days ago, they hadn't really geared up in many regards here. We found that, of the organizations that at least were, aware of it, the great majority weren't using digital solutions to share, healthcare. Two-thirds of the organizations are still printing out paper records. A third of them are still producing CDs for medical imaging. We found of roughly 50% of the people in the survey didn't even understand, had never heard of the term information blocking before, right? Which is concerning, right? They don't understand even the terminology. How do they understand whether they're in compliance or not here? And so unfortunately, while many of the bigger institutions and the focus, I think, on the industry is around the big manufacturers, the EHRs here, some of the PAC systems, et cetera, to make sure that they're minimally compliant. Unfortunately, I think that the industry is still poorly educated as to with what their obligations are. And I'm concerned, right, we'll be grossly out of compliance, right, as these things start to gear up.
Absolutely. So what, I guess, has bubbled up to the top, or what do you consider to be the driving factors behind the confusion and this slowness to abide by the rules?
Well, I think that at the federal level, they've made a concerted effort, right, to educate, communicate. Dr. Rucker, when he was in charge, was running around the country, right, doing seminars, trying to educate folks. And I do think, right, that has sunk in. And again, for the major institutions, I think they are well aware of what their obligations are, the major healthcare IT companies, and are, pushing them forward. Unfortunately, right, provider community, right, the folks that are doing the work inside these institutions are not the ones who go out to these seminars. They're not the ones that necessarily, they're focused on their day-to-day job. And we just haven't yet, unfortunately, spent enough time and energy, right, at the local level, right, for those institutions to take ownership of this issue, to educate, right, their own staff. And again, sure, we've got cultural resistance to it, and we know that's there. It's healthcare, right, and we do tend to like to do things the same way and resist, change for a long period of time here. But we've also had the pandemic, and that's been, stressful for the system, really across the board too. So I think those things contribute to this. But I think the more important question, right, is what do we do about that, right? Because relatively soon, right, I suspect the federal government is going to be stepping in, looking for compliance, assessing penalties and financial penalties. That's probably going to get the notice to folks here that they need to step up and start to solve some of these problems.
Absolutely. And before we get to what practices can potentially do to kind of get with the program, so to speak. When we think about that, that lack of readiness or compliance, you know, what's the impact overall for healthcare, and then maybe specifically kind of drilling it down to radiology?
Sure. Well, I mean, the overall context, right, for these changes is to accelerate access to medical information for a wide variety of uses, right? All good, right? Because what we do know is information blocking and having data in silos, right, creates poor patient care, poor continuity care, physicians and other clinicians making decisions with less than perfect information. And all of those things lead to an unmeasured amount of patient harm, which I would argue is probably in the tens of thousands of patients a year. If you look at just medical errors, right, many of those errors are attributable to a lack of information and data that in a fully transparent world, which doesn't exist today, we could have access to. But many industries have that, right? Whether you're driving around in an Uber or you're walking around with your cell phone that has location data that will tell you where the closest cup of coffee is, right? Healthcare is still not there, and it hurts patients. It makes care much more expensive. There's real consequences. And so the context for these rules and these changes, obviously, are to address that, systematically move this industry to a place where data starts to become, you know, more transparent. So every day that that doesn't happen and it's implemented across the United States, frankly, probably larger, patients are harmed and care is more expensive. And so the consequence on that, right, is really, frankly, unacceptable. And I think that it's time, right, for us to, as an industry, really, really put this focus. And again, we don't want to be critical, right, of this industry. I've been in it for 3.5 decades myself. Is we're doing the very best we can and trying to take care of patients in an incredibly complex set of circumstances with a pandemic and new government regulations, et cetera. But interoperability itself, right, is in many cases very likely the only way out of these problems, right? If we just continue to perpetuate data in silos along the way, we're never going to solve this problem. I think the government's regulator has recognized that. They've now deployed some rules, and it's time for industry to accelerate, right, their seriousness of addressing this.
So then kind of to double down on that a little bit, though, if we don't kind of, you know, get out of our own way with the silos, what does the future for healthcare and radiology look like? You know, you alluded to that a little bit, but maybe, you know, a little more detail. What type of consequences are we looking at?
So radiology is an unbelievable, obviously, you know, art and science here. And this, and across the United States, right, as a discipline, I think that the folks that work in radiology have done an unbelievably fantastic job dealing with lack of data and data in silos and expensive software applications and, you know, and organizations, right, that implicitly, right, create barriers to change and to advance to new technologies. But despite all those challenges, right, radiologists and folks that work in that profession have done a fantastic job producing really high quality kind of outcome. I think the risk that they have is a very mundane risk, right, in this regard, which is they're going to start getting hit with penalties from the federal government, right? We have across our system, I think, as we've talked, right, we help facilitate access to medical data, right, for 12, 15 million patients every single month in the United States, right, relative to volume. And I will tell you, a significant number of those patients have difficulty getting their medical records when they want them for themselves personally, directly in nonconformity with the ONC rules. Just last week, I was talking to one of our major partners at an academic medical center that was refusing to digitally transfer their records to consumers that were asking for them. And shocking to me, right? We're talking about a top 20 institution, right? That inside the middle part of the organization that's responsible for actual record distribution didn't understand the rules, didn't understand it, didn't understand they were putting their institution at risk for significant penalties. Because it wasn't just one patient, right? It's dozens of patients a day, which mount up to hundreds of patients a week, which mount up to thousands of patients in a given year that, you know, are being asked, either they're not being given data that they're legally allowed to have, or they're being asked to jump through administrative hoops that the federal government has explicitly said they don't have to do. And so I think what we have to be worried about here, and not a radiologist at the moment sitting in front of the screen, you know, making a diagnosis for a patient, they do a great job with that. It's going to be the institutions wrap around them that are going to start getting slapped, I fear, with penalties, and they'll be substantial. That'll be start spending those resources on legal defense instead of on patient care. That will start to tighten up and create rules and procedures, right, that won't be around transparency, but will be management of, you know, financial and legal risk. That I fear is what we may have in front of us in the next couple of years. You know, if healthcare operates the way it normally does, the first few that get hit with the millions of dollars of fines and penalties, and that has been occurring, right? It's, if you look back in the last, you know, year, we have some things to point to. That will probably start to get the attention of the institutions. But I fear at a very practical level, I think that's what we're, I suspect we're going to see in front of us in the next couple of years.
Okay. So then kind of looking at that, I guess, Rubbermaid's Road perspective, and turning to proactiveness, what can practices or institutions do to make sure that they are in compliance and abiding by these rules so that they can avoid those punishments and penalties?
Understood. So first thing they have to understand themselves is what the requirements really are. And that is, you know, kind of on the on the level of responsibility, the folks that are responsible for compliance, right? It's not good enough that they know and understand. If they really have to, I would argue these institutions spend more time educating inside the four walls of their own institutions as to what these regulations are and what they're about, right? And at least the data that we have shows that that hasn't occurred enough for it to actually sink in. That would be a very proactive step. Doesn't take a lot of money, but it certainly takes a corporate and from executive level intent, right, to do that. The second is, I think, is an honest conversation with their healthcare IT vendors around interoperability and what are they doing to make sure, not 6 months or a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years on the roadmap, but what are they doing today here to make sure that the parts that they play in the system, the data that they have access to or help have an obligation to provide can be done, right, in a standards-based way for that institution. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of institutions have not had that dialogue yet with their IT vendors. They just assume, well, you must have, with your standard products, have it solved, right? So they have to have those dialogues, right, and focus on partners, I would argue, right, that are that have experience in the field and are relatively mature. I'm not suggesting you don't work with small companies or startups because they can be fantastic, but you know, understand that you know, we have a lot of you know, exaggeration in healthcare IT about what capabilities are of various software and applications. And you have to get underneath that a little bit to say, but what are you actually practically doing here today that can help me meet my compliance standards? So I would argue providers really need to push on their vendors, have those discussions and move them forward. The third thing I would do is directly go to the folks in the records office. That is a primary focus to make sure that they understand that when consumers are coming and looking for their data, that their obligation is to provide it, right? Because culturally, we have educated in many regards, right, the folks that are responsible for protecting medical records, that they should protect them. And if consumers, you know, our patients can ask for information, they can get it, but not all of it, right? Because I'm not going to give you everything in my records. I'm going to give you what I think you need, and I'm going to hold back what might be of legal risk to me. And there's a lot of internal policies inside institutions, right? And that is a, I would argue, some material risk factor that internally organizations have to recognize is that healthcare is moving to a place, despite, right, our, you know, the industry's efforts to resist, is moving to a place where consumers will have choice, where now they have rights, where consumers have phone numbers they can call to complain that generate oversight, compliance, new regulations and fines. And so trying to change a culture of my job is to protect the information, right? Because penalty is, the penalties I experience is for an unfortunate leak or a mistake. So I build the walls around it. These regulations turn that upside down. It says, sure, you still are responsible for that. You have to give information out to consumers here. And that those folks, it's a very small group of people in these institutions, right, I think have to need to be pulled into the conversation. And we need to find ways, right, to help them become a little bit more consumer oriented, a little bit more kind of patient focused, a little bit more customer service oriented than they, as an industry, we're finding that we are today.
So on the flip side, are there any obstacles or stumbling blocks that are standing in the way to being that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there always are, right? It's healthcare, right? Which means we all have too much to do and we don't have enough resources ultimately to do it because it's very, very complicated. And we always want to do more and we always want to do better, which ultimately drives, right, innovation and change. So the industry, right, we want to do that. But pouring money into the situation isn't the issue here. We need to focus on priorities. Here, recognizing that this is a pretty big one and it's not going away. And these regulations and the standards and the definition of the initial data set is going to expand over time. So this is just going to grow. And if you don't deal with it now, right, it's going to be significantly more difficult, right, to kind of catch up and be in compliance later. So I think obviously it's a cultural issue. It's focusing priorities here on interoperability, not as the 10th priority, but as one of the top two or three priorities in institution here. And I think I would argue they need a whole institutional approach for this, right? It can't just be, I think what the industry has shown us, right, in the last couple of years, despite the pandemic, despite all the distractions, despite the disruptions we have in healthcare that we're experiencing, right? It can't just be the IT department's, challenge to deal with interoperability. This really needs to be a institution-wide kind of effort here, because it's the folks that are just following protocol and a procedure that was written down 7 years ago that are the ones that are going to create risk for the organization, because the IT folks are doing the best they can, but by themselves, they can't solve these problems.
Well, you mentioned the pandemic earlier, so that's kind of the big question in the room for a lot of people on a lot of topics. But, when we think about vaccine uptake kind of increasing, what's the impact of abiding by these rules? And then, what does that potentially have on the overall pandemic response?
Sure. So I think the pandemic, right, really exposed the importance, right, of interoperability and the importance of getting data, right? So I think it just woke us all up in the industry, where patients start showing up with respiratory diseases and don't have their medical records, right? And the CDC had done a study early in the pandemic that demonstrated that when patients did show up with COVID, needed to be treated, right, that less than 6% of them, the providers that had to diagnose and treat them, had access to their medical histories. So when you think about, contraindications for drugs, when you think about comorbidities and drugs people are on, clinical therapies, oncology treatments, trying to treat a COVID patient, not understanding any of those things, right, is, leads to catastrophe, right? And I think we understood that because we lived through that experience and then lived through this idea how do you take care of patients when you don't have the data you need in order to provide the best diagnosis and treatment plan for them. People are starting to recognize now, as we're moving out, God, hopefully, this pandemic, that post-acute care for COVID has long-term implications. And physicians that are now starting to manage patients that had COVID a year ago and now still have respiratory problems, still have cardiac problems, still have problems with their vision and the whole set of organ systems that we're finding have been affected by this, both disease and treatment, right? In order to treat those appropriately, you also have to have, access to medical records. So the pandemic, I think, really has exposed how vulnerable, right, we all are when data sits in silos and doesn't move its way through. I think if we are looking at the increased vaccination rates, which should allow us to get back to normal, should allow the business of healthcare to provide some sort of stability, right? There are some fundamental things that have changed, and it's changed in the minds of patients because of this, right? They now recognize that maybe they shouldn't be waiting, and they're not going to be waiting 60 minutes in a waiting room for someone to bring them in for their CT scan. It's not safe. They're not doing it. We now train them for an entire year and a half, probably another year in front of us, that that shouldn't be happening. They should have more service on demand. That's going to put, I think, on imaging and radiology centers where we're used to, right, as an industry of I'm running the machines and the patient can wait, right, here. That's going to create some logistical demand kind of challenges on the industry here. So I see, right, this returning back to a normal state, hopefully, of the delivery of healthcare and attacking non, right, COVID-related illness here, which has not gotten the attention, unfortunately, that it's needed, as we've had to prioritize in the last kind of year and a half. But the patient concept on how they think about delivery of healthcare, not just waiting rooms, but being able to talk to physicians on the phone, being able to have, you know, get their pharmaceuticals digitally, being able to drive up to the pharmacy and not have to go in and wait anymore. Those things, I think, are going to create a fundamental change for us, you know, going forward. Relative to, you know, radiology, I think we've got a lot of research still to do about how radiology can help with these, not just the progression of COVID, where hopefully COVID-19 becomes significantly rarer down the road than it is today, but also in the science around management of post-acute COVID. I think there are a number of things we still have to learn that'll be very important for radiology over time to understand the consequences of this disease on patients as the years go out.
All right. Well, Matthew, I appreciate your taking the time today. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Whitney. Really appreciate the time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Michaela, for joining me. And thank you for listening to The Reading Room. And as always, visit www.diagnosticimaging.com for the latest in radiology news.